It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. The power of Latino voters has been speculated upon for a number of elections, especially in Arizona. Efforts have been made to register more Latinos and get them passionately involved and interested in casting votes in November. But to this point, their impact hasn't been felt in a concrete election-deciding way. In his new story for The New Yorker, titled Can Latinos Swing Arizona?, Hector Tobar explores what might change that and which people at the grassroots level may drive it. Hector, before we dig into your piece, how do you see Arizona when it comes to conditions for and treatment of Latino residents?
The story of Latinos, Mexican Americans especially, and Mexicanos in Arizona is really similar to that in the rest of the United States. You know, this history of people with long roots in their community, and also people who've migrated in the last 10 or 15 years, building institutions, trying to defend their rights against a larger sort of institutional structure that either sees them as marginal or, and sometimes as a threat. And so people have patiently and sometimes with great sacrifice, you know, built organizations to stand up for their rights. It's something very similar to that, the struggles that have occurred in other parts of the United States.
In your piece for The New Yorker, one of the people here in Arizona that you focused on is Petra Falcone. I'm curious, what did you find especially interesting about her experiences, and why did you want some of the piece at least to focus on her?
What's really intriguing about Petra is a very long history of struggle in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area. She's someone whose family goes back to Phoenix in the 1940s, and in a certain sense, her story is the story of, you know, Mexican-Americans in the Southwest. Her family moves to Glendale when it's still mostly an agricultural community. Her brothers work in the fields near what's now, of course, you know, a stadium where Super Bowls have been held, then strawberry and watermelon patches. And it goes all the way up to the present, to this time when we have, you know, new waves of Mexican immigrants arriving. Petra's family is actually from Texas. You know, she's proud of saying that she's a fourth-generation Arizonan. So I like that aspect of her story, that it contained all of this history of Phoenix and Arizona and its Latino community that a lot of people don't really know about.
And late in the piece, there's what indicates perhaps a potential generation gap between Petra and some others on a particular issue. Did that seem like a real concrete, perhaps, difference there between her and others? And did you see it as a generation gap?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was already, had been working on the piece for several weeks when I saw in the Arizona Republic a story about Petra signing this document signed by other Catholic leaders, essentially denouncing gay marriage and abortion rights. And so I felt I was sort of surprised. I didn't know that Petra had those views, but it also seemed to me very very indicative of where a certain portion of the Latino community is, a community that's very Catholic, and how that there is this inherently socially conservative streak in the Latino community in Arizona and elsewhere. And so I was actually kind of caught by surprise by that.
Let me continue with the sort of generation gap theme a little bit, because you even refer to the Gang of Eight. Senators John McCain and Jeff Flake from Arizona were involved in that as far as so-called comprehensive immigration reform. Is there a generation gap as far as that goes from your perspective as well? Are there perhaps, and obviously we're not going to blanket statement everybody here, but are there more Latinos, let's say in their 40s and 50s, who think, comprehensive reform with potential path to citizenship, that sounds okay, but those who are maybe in their 20s and teens think, no, that's not.
Right, exactly. Just like you have this generation gap in terms of, you know, gay and lesbian rights and gay marriage, a lot of young Latinos really identify as progressives and they identify with civil rights, with these civil rights for gay people. In the same vein, a lot of younger Latino people are really demanding that an immigration reform include everyone who can be included, everyone who they believe deserves a path to citizenship. Whereas I think a lot of people who are older, who are more willing to make compromises, would see something like the Gang of Eight reforms, those compromises, as something they'd be willing to accept. You know, we see this now in Phoenix and elsewhere. There's a young brand of militant activists who believe that this is an incredibly important cause to Latino families, and they believe that they believe in taking actions like blocking streets, and you know, and doing other things that are direct actions to express how important these issues are to them.
It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Talking with Hector Tobar, we're talking about his new story for The New Yorker titled Can Latinos Swing Arizona? Hector, how much of the push to get more Latinos registered and more Latinos to the polls revolves specifically around Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio and the desire to beat him?
I think that it's a very important element in the story, but not the only one. I think that a frustration, too, with the SB 1070 and the administration of Jan Brewer, this is something that has been brewing, excuse the pun, in Arizona for about a decade now. The sense that that the Latino community is under threat by various politicos, not just Sheriff Arpaio, not just then Governor Jan Brewer, or Russell Pierce, the state senator who backed SB 1070, that essentially that the Republican Party has appealed to its base with very strongly anti-illegal immigrant measures that tend to target immigrants in general. And so I think that there is a general sense of resistance, and that voter registration is a key element in the community's resistance to those policies.
Based on the Republican National Convention last week, Sheriff Arpaio spoke. Of course, Donald Trump was there as the nominee of the Republican Party. Is Trump, and is some of Trump's rhetoric reminiscent to some Latinos of the sheriff, and could that be an inspiration for more Latinos to vote?
Arpaio and Trump have long been allies. Arpaio was a very strong early supporter of Donald Trump. They both shared a concern about President Obama's birth certificate, and Sheriff Arpaio investigated it, and Trump saluted him for that. So this is something that is obviously a strong alliance, and it scares Latino people. It scares Latino people in Arizona and elsewhere. I think that the prospect of a Trump presidency, this is a candidate who began his campaign with a screed against Latino immigrants. The prospect of that particular leader as president is terrifying to a lot of Latino people, whether they be fourth, fifth generation, or recently arrived immigrants.
Hector, is there a danger, and I think certainly in recent years, people and analysts in general have tried not to create this monolith of Latino voters, not to say that every Latino agrees on every subject, of course, because no group of people does. But do you think there is a pretty consistent push when it comes to these issues related to the Border Patrol or illegal immigration more generally that a great percentage of Latinos agree on, or is that also a generational difference?
I think that what's happened has been that since Proposition 187 passed in California in the mid-1990s, there has been a wave of anti-illegal immigrant legislation all across the United States. And this has slowly unified the Latino community. If you look at polls now, only 14% or less of Latinos are considering voting for Donald Trump. I mean, this is, the Republican Party has effectively united all the different nationalities, all the different kinds of people that form the Latino community. And so this is not something that the Latino community has chosen. It certainly has been thrust upon them. I think what happens is that the rhetoric of the Republican Party is aimed at illegal immigrants, but in painting illegal immigrants as criminals, they use this broad brush that many people believe is absolutely unfair to undocumented immigrants, because undocumented immigrants tend to be hardworking people. And so when you hear politicians repeat again and again that illegal immigrants are responsible for crime and rape and murder, it is utterly offensive to us. And it has caused us to unite increasingly as a people.
We've been talking about the story for The New Yorker titled Can Latinos Swing Arizona with its writer, Hector Tobar. Hector, thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.